today on Living on Every Word.
Always giving thanks for all things. It's an attitude. An attitude is how you carry on your life. And I'm just convinced that this ought to be a way of life for the believer. Always giving thanks for all things. Everything. Struggling in your job? Thank God for it. Financially difficult times? Thank God for it. I'm always giving thanks.
Life has its ups and downs. We're used to rejoicing in the good times, but what about when times are rough? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses what our response needs to be in good times and in bad in part two of Attitudes of Thanksgiving.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to continue our study on this heart of thankfulness and this kind of a mini series on always giving thanks. I love what Paul says in the middle of this passage of instruction when he says that we are to always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for all things. And my challenge to you a couple of weeks ago is that when you approach life and you approach your weeks and as you move into them over the next several weeks is to have this attitude that says I'm going to be thankful for everything that comes my way. Everything that comes to my life, I'm going to thank God for, even if it doesn't make sense. I want to be a part of a people, the people of God, who defaults to praise and defaults to thanksgivings, not to grumblings and complaint, but to thanksgivings. And Paul speaks of this first in chapter 5 and at the end of this passage, and then also he's already spoken of it that we're going to look at in just a moment earlier in the chapter. Always giving thanks for all things. It's an attitude. An attitude is how you carry on your life, how you carry on your life in your mind, and ultimately how you carry yourself in this life. And I'm just convinced that over the last several weeks, as God has placed these kinds of passages of Scripture in my mind and heart, that this ought to be a way of life for the believer. Always giving thanks for all things. Everything. Struggling in your job? Thank God for it. Financially difficult times? Thank God for it. Struggling in some areas? Thank God for it. Doesn't mean that you have to be truly happy about it. Bible says in James chapter 1 that we're to consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not one trial, two, but various trials. Consider it all joy, he says. Look to the future of what this thankful heart and this joyful heart does in the midst of the things that go on in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how the Bible links thankfulness to a number of principles. And we saw that God links thankfulness to finding peace with Him in Philippians chapter 4. That he links a lack of thanks to ultimately ungodly living. And he also, in Luke chapter 17, links thankfulness with effective faith. I want to continue. There's three other things that I believe Scripture links thankfulness to. The first one today is that he links thankfulness to a way of life. Look at Ephesians 5:1. Look at the walk that we're supposed to walk in. Therefore, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And let not immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, now watch this, which are not fitting. What is he saying here? We walk in love, we imitate God, we don't let immorality, impurity, or greed even be named among us, because why? This is proper. It's proper life. It's proper for you and me as Christians to avoid immorality, to avoid impurity, to avoid greed. And then also, there must be no filthiness or silly talk. This is not Christian way. This is not your way or my way. In Christ, there's a way to live. And he's saying, this is not it. This is not the way we live. It's not the way we carry on. But notice the next phrase. These things which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You get the idea in this text that it's always, I'm always giving thanks. I'm always thanking God. Not walking in immorality. I'm not walking in greed or impurity. And I'm not saying things with my mouth that I don't need to be saying. But rather what's coming out of my mouth is a spirit of thankfulness for all things in Christ Jesus. It's a way of life. I love the word fitting. Fitting in this passage of Scripture means to have arrived at. It's like you're destined to live this life and you've arrived. And I realize that no one arrives, okay, until the next life. But there's this point, there's this resolve in my life that I arrive at that says, I'm not going to live this way, but I'm going to offer thanks to God. And again, a couple of weeks ago, as we looked at, that connects to this godly living and avoiding the ungodly lifestyle. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in Romans chapter 1, where we see the downward spiral of a people, a downward spiral of an individual or a nation or a family. And the Bible says this, it begins when they don't honor God and they don't give thanks. And we want to be a people that give thanks. Because why? Because it's fitting. It's what we arrive to. Now that's a very hard thing in a lot of circumstances that we go through in life. But you know, I just know that when I look at my life and I look at the things that happen to me and to our family in a negative sense, and I walk through it and I can look back and I can say, oh God, you've done such a work. You've done such a work in my heart and a work in my spirit to bring me to a place that I wasn't at before. Think about it. Even God using your failures. And we walk in that regret and we look back and then we look at where we are now from where we were then. Even those willful times of sinning against God and moving into those seasons of the pit and how God brings us out. And He brings us to this place where God has blessed. I've heard many people who have gone through traumatic times who say, I don't ever want to go through that again, but I thank God that I went through it. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever said that? Yeah. Don't want to ever be there again. But God, you've done such a work in my life and my heart as a result of this. I can't help but think of Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, who moves from a very popular place in his family, in his father's eyes, to a pit, being sold into slavery. So from a pit to slavery, from an accusation of immoral behavior to prison. So from Israel to a pit, from a pit to Egypt to be a slave, from a slave to a person in jail, accused for something that he did not do. And what I love most about the story is that when the brothers finally come to him, I get this thought that he didn't go back home, but home came to him in Egypt. And you know what he said to him? He said, don't fret yourself about this. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. And he sent me here to save you. And to save you from this famine. For God is making a name of Himself amongst the people. And you've been in this place and you've been going through famine. And the famine is just beginning. It's going to get worse for the next several years. And God sent me here to preserve life. Now, what's so great about that story is that I just believe it. That doesn't mean that Joseph didn't have a hard time. Yes, he had a hard time, but there was this overwhelming thought in his life that he was destined to do something significant in the life of God's family. And he moves through slavery, and he moves through prison, and he moves through hatred, and he moves through jealousy of his brothers, and he moves through all those things. And then one day, what happens? He's on the throne and in charge of the most powerful nation on earth. From the pit to the throne. 14 years, 15 years. From the pit to the throne. Yeah, 15 years seems like a long time, but I want to tell you, once you get there, it was just a moment ago. It was just a moment ago. A thankful heart, the favor of God upon him, a way of life. This thought that says, I'm not going to hold any animosity towards you because God had a hand in this. God had a part in this. Scripture links thankfulness to a way of life. And we must be a people who thank God totally and always. Matter of fact, the next thought is that Scripture links thankfulness to God's will and purposes. Scripture links thankfulness to God's will and purposes. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You can look it up on the screen. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you know, over the last few weeks, John Ann and I have been talking about this and just really choosing to say thank you for these things, even when they don't make sense, even when they're hard, even when we're struggling, we're choosing to say thank you. I was preparing this message Saturday morning, and we were sitting in my green chair, and I had just finished putting the last notes. I've been thinking about being thankful for all things. And Johnny asked me, so he said, "Hey, did you pay that bill to the mechanic?" I went, "No, I didn't pay the bill to the mechanic." And I just started saying, I said, "You know, we've done this and this, and you know, I just," and then she blurted out, "Be thankful for everything." And she didn't say it like that. That's how I heard it, okay? "Be thankful for everything." "Oh, thanks a lot." "Be thankful for everything. We've got it. Pay the mechanic." So, right there, got thanks for the broken car. Thanks that it's fixed. Thank you, Lord, right now that we have the money to pay it. And if we didn't have the money to pay it, we'd have it. That's just how He is. And so then I went out, and I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about this burr clover, you know, we talked about it. And so I started raking it up, and Johnny Ann came out, said, "How's it going?" So I went, "It's just so overwhelming." And I could just hear, she didn't say that, "Be thankful for everything." She didn't say that. "Thank you, I'm not saying that." And I was so thankful for it that I said, "Well, I'll just leave it," and went back in, and guess what happened the next day? It was still there. It was still there. But not the attitude. Things look better. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Even these trivial things? Well, why not? Because I think the trivial things lead you to a habit that brings you to the places that when things are really going tough, that you're able to say thank you. Why? Because you've been practicing them on the trivial things. And yeah, there's some trivial things that have come my way that we've struggled with, but yet they're trivial. And instead of complaining about it and grumbling about it, I'm going to choose to do this. God, I'm going to choose to thank you. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now notice this next verse. "Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully, hold to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." And in verse 18, when he says, "In everything give thanks," he gives a reason for it. This is God's will for your life. Really, God? Is this God's will for my life? That I've lost this job? That I've gone through this difficult time? Is this really your will for me? I know that's sometimes hard for us. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you." And my challenge for you and for me this next week and this next through the end of the year is to thank God for everything, because I want to hear your story. I want to hear the story that when something negative or something positive happens and you begin to thank God and what God does. I want to hear the story. I want to tell the story. You know, we've been talking about this for the last several weeks, and you know what? I started doing what the Scripture asks us to do, and guess what? Things may not have changed all the way, but things are changing. But you know what's changing most? My heart's changing. My heart's changing. So instead of grumbling, instead of complaining, Fritcher, thank God for everything. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We just see it in Ephesians chapter 5. Always giving thanks for all things. It's a way of life. And it's connected to the purposes of God for our lives. And that's how we can praise Him. That's how we can rejoice in Him. You know what? I look back over a string of things that have gone on in my life, and I think, gosh, I just wish I would have just said, "Thank you, Lord." I wish I would have said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. We rejoice. We rejoice in this." Yeah, Scripture links thankfulness to a way of life. It links thankfulness to God's will and purposes. But let me tell you what else it does. Scripture links thankfulness, among other things, to a tranquil and quiet life. I love this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings." I'm entreating to God, I'm praying to God, I'm making my petition, but I'm also thanking Him. "Be made on behalf," watch this, "of all men." All men. "For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may do what? Lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." I just look at this passage of Scripture and go back to verse 1. First of all, I'm urging that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. All men. Not just the ones that we agree with, but all men. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, this is just my thought here. I've noticed that the people who make the most complaint about other people lead the less tranquil and quiet life. Nervous wreck all the time. Think about it. I'm talking about people in my life and me. I'm guilty of this. That in those days that I'm not thanking God and I'm not praying for people, but instead I'm running my mouth on negative things, and this is not just has to do with leaders, although he's talking about leaders, he's talking about all men, all kings and all in authority, so that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life. You know what I love about this passage of Scripture? When I think about this whole point where Scripture links thankfulness, among other things, to a tranquil and quiet life, it may be chaos all around us, and it may get worse and worse. But guess what? We're praying, we're petitioning, we're thanking and treating for all men. And guess what's happening to you and to me? We're leading a tranquil, quiet life. Not talking about not moving through some things, but there's just tranquility and quietness of our souls and our hearts. Because why? We're doing what the Scriptures tell us to do. And I want to ask you, this is the challenge for us. Are we going to thank God for all things, and are we going to thank God for all men? I know some of that doesn't make sense to us. Thank you, Lord, for this. This doesn't make sense. I mean, we were driving the car there. They were thanking God for some things that just, oh gosh, it just didn't make sense. But did it make sense for Job after he lost all his livestock? This is before he lost the children. To worship God and to bless the Lord who gives and God takes away. Hey, I'm challenging us today. Let's thank God for everything. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, if you would. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, if you want to know where Habakkuk is, go to Matthew and go about 10 pages to the left, okay? Go to Matthew, go 10 to 12 pages to the left. You're going to find Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 16. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled, and the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. Because there are people who are going to arise, and they're going to invade us. That doesn't look like very good news, does it? It's not very good news. He's a prophet. Prophets don't usually bring good news. And he says this, I mean, my inward parts are trembling, my lips are quivering, there's decay in my bones, in my place I tremble. Why? Because I've seen it. God has spoken to me, and I've got to speak this to a people that don't want to hear this. But I'm waiting quietly for this day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. And look what he says in verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and that the fields produce no food, and though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. Yet, I look at all these things and all these possibilities and these things that are hurting me and struggling with inwardly, but yet I am going to exult in my God and I'm going to rejoice in Him. And I did this the other morning. I was looking at the two words, the words exult and rejoice. And I went to this Hebrew lexicon and I opened it up in my computer app in my phone and began to study the two words. And the first word, exult, you know what it is? He says, this is what he says, exult is to rejoice, but it's not the dancing kind of rejoicing. Oh, okay, good. You've heard me say sometimes, I'm not talking about spiking a football and doing a jig. Okay, so I thought, whew, okay. Do you know what the next word is, rejoice? It says, rejoice with dancing and jumping. That just blew it out of the water for me. Why is he saying this? Why is he saying, there's no food in the field, there's no figs, there's nothing on the olive branches, I mean, there's just no fruit. I mean, but yet, in spite of this, yet I will exult in God, not the dancing and cheering kind of rejoicing. I will exult in God, and I will rejoice in God. Why is that? Why does he say that? How can someone say, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I do know what he says in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, And he has made my feet like hinds feet, and he makes me walk on high places. He does something great in my life. And therefore, in spite of all these other things, I'm going to still thank him. I'm still going to praise him. I'm going to thank him, I'm going to praise him, I'm going to serve him. In spite of all these things, that's my posture. That's what I'm going to look to. That's how I'm going to live. I'm going to thank God for everything. And there's a number of things that I think is so great about this thought of thanking God for everything. See, always giving thanks for everything means that there's got to be a constant mental and intentional awareness of the presence of God. If I'm not thinking about God and godly things, or if God's not prompting me, or I'm not responding to that, I'm not going to give thanks. So there's this posture again of thankfulness, is that I want to be aware of the presence of God. And it means that there's this attempt, there's this movement toward an uninterrupted communion and fellowship with the Lord. I think it does some other things. I think that you have a grasp of what God's will is for your life, that He's working all things out for your good. Because you love Him and you've been called according to His purpose. I think also that you have a growing faith in the providence of God. That God's in control, that He's Lord. And He's able to take these circumstances in my life and make something very special. I think also you're willing to look foolish. Thank God for that. You're nuts to thank God for that. Believe me, I felt that. I felt that before. I looked foolish. How can you thank God for that? How can you thank Him? It means you're willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which is in reality, that's where they already are anyway. Is that right? It means you see and you confess Jesus is Lord. You choose to see the good that God is accomplishing. You're choosing to be happy, and if not deliriously happy, you're at least finding contentment. It means that you put off grumbling, complaint, and discontentment, and you thank God for all that He's given and all He's doing. Because, as we said earlier, there's enough blessings going on in our lives to shake a stick at. So I want to put that off, and then I want to believe my circumstances is furthering the will of God and even the expansion of the gospel. The expansion of the gospel, how Paul would say, my circumstances right now is furthering the gospel of Christ. Not my personal happiness and joy. It's the difference. The expansion of the gospel. And you know, that must be on our heart. As believers in Christ, the gospel that came to our hearts ought to be just right here. First and foremost, the expansion of the gospel. Why? Because of what the gospel does in my life, what it does in people's lives, what it does in families, what it does in marriages, what it does in nations' lives. The gospel changes. And so I want to look at my circumstances as something that can and has the potential of furthering and expanding the gospel. If I'm going to thank God for everything, I've got to choose to be led by the Spirit according to His Word. I'm willing to be a greater vessel for His glory. I think that when you give thanks for everything, that you find out the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but simply from the hand of God. I think also that you're willing to suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord. I look over and over at Scripture and I look at people who are suffering for Christ and they're thanking God for it. And I think that your ache seems to be relieved as you know that for the believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here it is, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Always giving thanks for everything is a great posture. I think about the whole thought of it being fitting for you and for me as believers in Christ. Giving thanks fits us. It befits us. So let's do it. Let's thank God for everything. Let's pray for all men. And thank God for all men. Let's believe in this providence of God in our lives that He's working out everything according to His purposes and His good pleasure. And let's look for that tranquil and quiet life. I'm not talking about it just being easy. That's not what the Scripture says. It's just there's some things going on in your life, inwardly and outwardly, that's blessing people with peace in the midst of chaos and struggle. God links thankfulness to God's will and purposes for your life. So I want to ask you to do something today. I want you to do the hard thing. In the silence of this moment, I want the thing that you're struggling with the most right now. I hope that God will remind you of it. And now what I want you to do right now, in the name of Jesus, thank Him for it right now. Lord, thank You for this. And it's okay to say, I don't like this. This doesn't feel right. I'm not talking about feelings here. I'm talking about the principle of God's Word. Thank Him for it. God, I thank You for this difficulty. I receive Your Word and Your work in my life right now. I thank You, Lord, that You are Lord. And I confess You, You are Lord over this. You're Lord over this season in our lives. You're Lord over what's happening in our children's lives. Lord, I thank You for this today. Don't understand how I can do that because it sounds even foolish as I thank You. But I want to believe You. And Lord, I want to pray that You would birth within us a faith so that God, that in our faith and in our believing, the ache would listen. The ache in our hearts would lessen. And that, Father, that we can look to You in the name of Jesus. Now, I with heads bowed, eyes closed, and your spirit of prayer, look, every one of us have propensities to complaining, okay? Every one of us, even the most positive in this place. And I just, whatever you're complaining about today, in the name of Jesus, stop it. But Pastor, you don't understand who I got to live with. Thank God right now. Thank God for the difficulty your child's going through. Thank God right now for the difficulties that your other children are not going through. Thank God for everything. Always giving thanks for everything in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for this tranquil and quiet life You speak of. I pray, Lord, for the peace with God, the peace of God. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for Your goodness and Your mercy as we walk in this life seeking to please You with everything that we are. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the blood. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for the church. Thank You for our families. Thank You for our children. Thank You for health. Thank You, Lord, for the sickness. Thank You, Father, for the rupture in the relationship. Thank You, Father, for these things that are going on in my life, both good and bad. We want to be a thankful people. Lord, may it be a way of life today, giving thanks for everything. And I ask this in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen and amen. Now, did you thank God? Did you feel the relief? Did you sense it? That God's God, He's Lord. He's in your life. He's working it all out. And you know, you might go home and it still might be the mess, but at least you're doing what God's asked us to do, thanking Him, putting our eyes upon Him. And my prayer is that that's the direction we move in, thanking God for everything.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on